faking it gets exhausting. Here, we keep it real. What's up, you guys? Hope y'all are doing so well, and I appreciate you taking the time out of your day to listen to my podcast. Today's episode is going to be a fun one. I'm your host, as always, Kinsley Meeks, wellness entrepreneur, fitness coach, bikini bodybuilder, and digital creator, here to inspire you to live boldly and unlock your highest physical and mental potential. I feel like last week's episode was a little bit more serious, like 100% fitness focused, which is a good thing, of course, but today I wanted to focus more on the courage part of Curls and Courage, okay? So lots of relatable stories to share with you guys that are not only going to bring you some encouragement, but also make you laugh a little bit. Big facts though, when I was going through these experiences in my past that I'm about to share today, it was not funny at all. But now reflecting back, these chapters in my life actually taught me so much and made me a big part of who I am today. So in this episode, we're talking about careers. We're talking about hustling, okay? We're talking about those jobs that make you question your life choices, the ones that you absolutely dread showing up to, but somehow end up shaping you in ways that you maybe never even expected. We're talking about grit, sacrifice, and doing the unsexy work no one sees behind the scenes so you can build a life that you actually enjoy, a life that you actually love, because that's what we're all about here. Y'all already know we keep it real, and sometimes your path to passion runs straight through a barbecue stain, aprons, and a 12-hour shift on your feet. That was me. So this one's for my homies stuck in survival mode, the side hustlers out there flipping burgers with big visions, anyone who's ever wondered if their now will ever lead to their next. Don't feel like I talk a lot about entrepreneurship on this show, but it is a huge part of my life, especially as of recently, as I'm learning how to edit my podcast, produce my podcast, put everything together. You know, I have multiple different tasks in the day around being a personal trainer, nutrition coach, digital creator, lots of big visions for my brand with Curls and Courage, and just what I see as a whole with what I do. So from a young age, I always kind of knew that I wanted to be an entrepreneur. Okay. I always knew that I wanted to move out of my hometown. For those of you who don't know, I'm in Miami now, but I lived in Mobile up until the age I was 20 when I moved here, and I'll be 24 in about a week. So I lived in Alabama, Mobile, a smaller town all of my life. And you know, I'm not the type of person to just sit around and wait for opportunities to happen or wait for someone to just like give me a million. You know, you feel me? From my experience, you just have to make it happen sometimes. So from a young age, I started to work because again, I knew I wanted to move. I knew I didn't have a lot of money, and I knew that I wanted to have a career that was entrepreneurial in some way. And I feel like as an entrepreneur that you kind of expand in what you want to do. I'll say that as well. But I always knew that I wanted to do something. I wanted to work for myself. And again, I wanted to make money and I wanted to move out of Alabama. So I did many things, but these are just a few before I started my entrepreneurial journey that I have now and that I've been, you know, on the past couple of years. I guess I just, like I said, always knew it was coming. The first job that I had, I was age like 13 to 15. I was babysitting, okay? And I guess I laughed because I automatically knew this was terrible for me before I even started. I'm sorry, y'all. Like, I know a lot of females are super nurturing and like sweet with kids, but like, I'm just not a kid person. To me, kids are gross, they're annoying, and they're usually just dramatic for no reason, okay? But we had to make that money. So I started babysitting because I was, again, at this age to where I couldn't really get a legit job. I couldn't be hired. I was just too young, but I knew that I could make money in some way. So I had a couple connections. My mom is a teacher, so she had a couple teacher friends that maybe wanted me to babysit their kids. I knew a couple, you know, younger children and moms and dads around my neighborhood that could possibly hire me. I felt like people were always looking for kids to babysit their children. So the job was pretty simple, right? Just keep the kids safe, follow the parents' instructions, and stick to a routine, you know, somewhat of a routine, so the kids don't throw any tantrums or anything. And at some point in my babysitting days, I unfortunately broke all of these rules, but let me just tell you one babysitting chronicle that really stood out. I think the first time I probably almost literally lost my mind was when I had to babysit four kids at once. So with this specific scenario, I was babysitting these four kids, right? It was three boys and one girl. The boys were, I'm trying to think of the age, maybe like two of them were probably around the age of like 7, 8. And then one of them was really young, maybe like 3 or 4. And then I was also babysitting this girl who was probably like 3 or 4 as well, pretty young. So I remember we had decided to have like a Nerf gun war. And the kids were just going crazy, okay? Like one boy is screaming, just running around the house. The second boy is just kind of chill over there in the corner being shy. The third boy is trying to like eat some mac and cheese. This is the youngest one. He's over at the dinner table. And the girl is literally bawling on the floor because apparently her brother was like being mean to her or something. So automatically, I'd already broke two rules at once because the kids were out of their routine. Their parents told me to put them to sleep at bedtime, but of course, I didn't follow the parents' instructions. I'm just trying to be like the cool, the fun babysitter. You know what I mean? All of this is happening, and I'm just trying to nurture every child. I'm just trying to be the cool babysitter. Like, you know what I mean? So they're out of their routine. I'm not following the parents' instructions. And all of this is happening at once. And I'm just overwhelmed, to be honest. Like, I'm only a 14-year-old girl, you feel me? And I'm just trying to nurture every child. And all of a sudden, I hear a loud scream. So I look over to my left, and the smaller boy who was eating this mac and cheese, who was just trying to eat dinner, he literally fell out of his chair and hit his head on the table. Well, there goes the third rule broken. Didn't keep the kids safe. So this little boy has this huge gash in his head. It was actually so sad. So I had to immediately call his parents, and I did. Finally got the kids under control because I feel like they understood like the importance of emergency when this kid was crying and bleeding, and they're all freaking out. And honestly, I'm low key freaking out. Long story short, the kid ended up having to get stitches, but his parents were not too mad at me. I left that house on that specific night saying, okay, like I really hated that experience. And I know without a doubt that working with kids is just not for me. But what I learned was I had to get better at multitasking, which I'm going to tell you guys is just a vital skill to pick up in any career and also just in life in general. As an entrepreneur today, I am constantly being pulled in so many different directions. Like I said, whether it's personal training, nutrition coaching, whether I'm filming a podcast, editing a podcast, putting videos together, whether I am working on my marketing strategy, focus more on digital creation, whether I'm doing a little bit of like fitness modeling, whether I'm working on my personal brand, like there are so many different hats that I wear, and I'm getting phone calls, I'm getting emails. You have to know how to multitask as an entrepreneur, and also just in life in general. Like, life is crazy. It's always trying to pull you in some type of way. So I did learn this valuable skill from a young age, and I stuck with this job, even though I hated it, until I was about 16, because again, I was trying to make that money. So moving on to the second job that I had, once I was old enough to actually get hired, this was between ages, I would say like 16 to maybe like 17 and a half, 18, I started working at Chili's. And again, I also knew from the start that this job probably would not be the best for me. I mean, just take it one look at the menu and see if that looks like wellness to you. But again, we're done babysitting at this point, and we know we got to make money to live a life in which we want to live. So when I was working at Chili's, I started out as a hostess, which the job is pretty simple there. You pretty much just have to follow like a specific seating chart and make sure the customers get seated properly in the different like waitresses or waiter sections. But I started serving as soon as I was able to, which was just like a month or two after being hired. I guess they just didn't have any positions at the time or wanted to kind of see how I did up front. But I started serving because I knew I was going to be able to make more tips, which would equal more money, right? I also kind of enjoyed talking to people. I like a fast-paced environment, but I knew the job wasn't great, but it was probably better than babysitting, and it would be a lot more consistent having these shifts, which again would lead to more money and more success in the future. But let me tell you, this was by far one of the shittiest and worst ran places in Mobile, Alabama, I have to say. We were always understaffed. The managers were extremely inappropriate, disorganized, and just unqualified. I can tell you so many extremely funny yet just traumatizing stories. But the one that I want to tell you today is one that I will truly never forget, no matter how hard I try. So whenever I was working at Chili's, I was in high school at the time. So I would go in after school, after cheer practice, and after cross country practice. So I had just got done literally running like 8 miles in hill repeats. And I was like, okay, let's go get this bread. Obviously, I was already exhausted before the night had even begun. And my shift was usually like 6 p.m. to 10 p.m. because I had to get up early for school the next day. So again, you would wake up early, I'd go to school all day, do my practice, come back to the house, shower, eat something super quick, and then go straight to work. But I will say I almost always stayed later than 10 p.m. and they actually made me clock out but still work, which was crazy because now if that was me at the time, like I would not put up with that. But I guess I was just a young girl, didn't understand, was being bossed around a little bit. But yeah, that's just not how things would work for me now. But anyways, so I'm at work on this one specific night. It's a weekend night. You know, I'm wearing my little black shoes, my little black apron. I got that Chili's uniform on. I got my name tag on. It's saying Kinsley on there. You know, I'm trying to get people to sit with me or whatever. So I start my shift as a server. But on this night, we literally had like one other server and one bartender. And you're supposed to have, I would say, one server per like 4 to 6 tables. And you generally would need more than one bartender as well. And it was busy too. I don't know why, but apparently the spot is just bumping on this Friday night. I don't know why everyone in the world decided they wanted to come to Chili's so bad on this particular day, but they sure did. So once 8 p.m. hit, I'm like maybe an hour or two into my shift, it started getting crazy. So I'm bussing like probably 8 to 10 tables at once, serving drinks, like alcoholic drinks. And at this time, I'm like 17 too. Like I'm super underage, super illegal. But the bartender was like, can you help me? And my manager's like, it's fine. Just do whatever needs to be done. I'm like, okay. So on top of that, I'm also on the line cooking because of course we had limited chefs this night as well. And not that our dishes are like too complicated, but at the same time, like I'm not knowing whether the chicken is cooked properly. Like I'm not knowing how long that I should cook the steak for on the grill or like how long I should cook these fajitas, you know what I mean? But I was just trying to help out in any way that I could and make it until closing. There were just a number of things that happened this night, but here are the three most memorable things that I wanted to mention today. So the first thing is, again, tables are super busy, right? And we have a lot of customers in. So we're just trying to get food out on the table as quickly as possible. People are complaining, screaming, whatever. So I remember one of my customers had ordered this pan-seared salmon. So I walked to the back to get the salmon, right? And I accidentally dropped the plate on the floor with the salmon. And one of the cooks actually saw this happen. And I'm like, hey, like, I need another salmon as quickly as possible. They're getting mad. They're like, we can't do that right now. Like, we don't have enough time. So what this cook literally did, this is so bad, y'all. This is so bad. But they get the salmon up off the floor. They slightly rinse it back off, like just the couple corner pieces of it in the sink. Then they re-season it with like a lot of salt and pepper, throw it in the microwave, and then hand it back to me. No kidding. And I'm like, look, like I really don't think I should serve this. And again, like I'm young at the time. I feel honestly bad that I did this, but like I didn't know, you know, I mean, I shouldn't have, but I did. And I went back out there and I served that woman that salmon. And like as soon as I got back, I was thinking like, girl, like you do not know what you're eating. Like, guys, you really don't know what happens in the back of a kitchen. Things can be so crazy. That's why I honestly prefer to cook my own food, but not every restaurant is like that. Most should not be, but you know, it is what it is this night. Second story that happened. Okay. So again, we normally have more people on staff, at least 2 managers. But for the first hour, we just had one. The first hour that things I would say were starting to get crazy. It was like 8:30 p.m. or so. And I'm just, again, trying to hustle, trying to get things done. And I needed a little bit of assistance in learning how to like split a check or split a payment for a customer. And the only person who could really do this was my manager. So I'm thinking like, okay, I'm going to go in her office and ask her a question right quick, get her to go ahead and split this bill for my customer and then move on with the next task. So I go into her office and it's probably like 8:30 p.m. at this point, maybe 9. And this woman is, I would say, under 30. She's probably like 28, 29 years old. And again, I kid you not, like the restaurant is literally falling to pieces. So I go in her office and y'all, She's literally just sitting there. She has her speaker blasting and she's listening to No Hands by Waka Flocka Flame. Y'all know that song? She on that Girl, the Way You Moving Got Me in a Trance. And I was on that like, hi, welcome to Chili's. Might I remind you again, this restaurant is literally just falling apart and she does not seem to care. So it was just like extreme lack of leadership, lack of drive, and honestly, just lack of respect for any of the employees, including me, who are literally killing themselves just to get some chips and salsa on the table. But somehow I get through the end of the night. And you know, at this point, like, I smell like trash, like straight onions. I'm talking for real. I feel like trash. I'm just super exhausted and I look like trash. I got mystery sauces and salsa stains all over my apron at this point, and I'm just trying to get out of this place. It's like midnight and we still have to do our server task. You know, as a server, you don't just serve. You have to do silverware. You have to clean up your stations. You have to make sure everything looks spick and span before you leave. We did not do that perfectly at times. Our managers were kind of on us about that because they didn't want to do it at the end of the night. So at around this time, as I was doing silverware, my second manager who had got there after this woman had left that I was speaking about earlier calls me into his office. And this guy is probably like in his 50s. And this is really going to take y'all by surprise. Believe me, it took me by surprise as well. But I go into his office because he's like, hey, Kinsley, like, I need you for a second. So I'm like, okay, like, what is it, man? Like, I'm just tired. I'm ready to go. So he's like, hey, like, I have a potential job opportunity for you. And I'm like, okay, like, I'm very interested because, again, I'm trying to make that money. So he proceeds to tell me that I have great potential to become a stripper. He's telling me like he has a friend who works in the industry at a place not super far away and he can definitely get me a job. He's telling me all about the description. And like, I'm not going to be too graphic on this. I think you guys understand the point, but I'm like, man, like, why are you telling this to me right now? I am literally a 17-year-old girl. Like, I'm just trying to get through my high school years and you're trying to explain to me how I have the best hair and like a good body to go ahead and start stripping. And I'm like, man, like, this is just not for me. And please quit talking to me. Like, I just want to leave. I can't even believe that this happened. You guys get the point and at least grasp somewhat of an understanding of my Chili's trauma. Punchline is this. As I mentioned earlier, I knew before I started this job that it just wasn't right for me, but I chose to do it anyways. I tried anyway because I understood that money and independence matter, a primary skill that I had to develop to be an entrepreneur today. So not only did this job teach me the value of trying new things and recognizing misalignment early, but it also taught me how to observe broken systems and what a negative impact they have on a business. I was in the thick of bad leaderships, poor systems, and a toxic work environment for sure. And I knew exactly what I never wanted in a business, but how to still get the work done under conditions that were honestly just unacceptable. And I continued to work this job for almost 2 years, even though I hated it. At the time, I was also on the lookout for sure for another job that I could do at a young age, but there just wasn't a lot of options. Again, I wasn't super qualified. Again, I was at school at the time and just couldn't put a lot into it. But anyways, this is going to lead me straight into my next job that I had when I was younger. So again, I was on that food wave. I was on that serving wave and I started working at Sonny's Barbecue. I don't know if this is like a food chain restaurant. I know we definitely don't have a Sonny's here in Miami, but it may be a food chain restaurant somewhere else, but it's a barbecue place. This was when I was ages around, again, 18 to 19, so a little bit older, but I had this job at the end of my high school days, I believe, and then leading into when I graduated high school as well. So this job was in a convenient location. It was literally like right next door to Chili's, and I knew I was good at serving, and a friend from the Chili's restaurant actually recommended this job to me and said that she could probably get me a job working there. So I'm like, okay, let me try it out. I knew that it couldn't be worse than Chili's, and she was actually telling me how the management was like a lot better and how the pay was better, and I was like, okay, like, you have me sold. There's not really much that it's going to take to get me out of here. So I went ahead and moved forward with that job. But again, just imagine me in a barbecue restaurant. I'm talking pulled pork, brisket sandwiches, and mac and cheese. You know, I'm just not the right girl for that type of food. But this was a major upgrade from Chili's. I remember several bad encounters with customers, of course, that's normal. And sometimes the cooks were a little sketchy towards me, to be honest. But that wasn't the worst thing ever. It was just a job that it still sucked, you know? I could tell you a few short stories, but the main thing I want to share today is not really a story, but a routine that I had learned to establish every single day that I worked at Sunny's. So this was around the time that I started bodybuilding, and I was on a very strict meal plan that did not fit my serving schedule at all. I wanted to eat every 2.5 to 3 hours. I was measuring out all of my food. I was drinking lots of water. I was making sure that this was an important part of my lifestyle at the time because I was always a healthy eater, but I never really understood the value of like a true meal plan. And I never understood bodybuilding, right? Until I got into the sport. You just don't know what you don't know. So my boss was actually pretty strict about the small things, very different type of management in comparison to when I worked at Chili's, especially when it came to servers eating on the job. My manager just was not about that. So we could only eat before and after shifts. We couldn't eat in front of customers. We were allowed to drink water, but just sipping it here and there, of course, you couldn't like ever have it with you. And these are really simple rules. Of course, most restaurant industries are going to be like this. But as a bodybuilder, these rules just were not going to fly with me. So you guys already know we had to manipulate the system a little bit because we got to get the gains at all cost. So I'd work a lot of doubles, sometimes going from this job to another job, which I'll talk about in just a second. But at the time, what I would do to kind of work my way around the system was I would bring usually 2 to 3 meal preps at work because I would be working, again, sometimes doubles, but the shift was never less than I would say 6 hours. So I would bring jasmine rice and egg whites, the same thing for every meal because the jasmine rice was my carb source and then the egg whites were my protein source. And I think I put like coconut oil or something in there as well to get my fats because I know I would have had some fats with that. But it was just easy. It was convenient. It was cheap. And it was something that I could just kind of like prepare super fast whenever I was at home and trying to get to work. So what I would do is every 2.5 hours, I would get that jasmine rice and egg whites. No time to put it in the microwave and warm it up. No time to heat up that coconut oil. Just had to go grab it and I would like stuff it underneath my apron. And then I would like run to the bathroom super quickly and just like stuff my face with that jasmine rice and egg whites. Just eat it like as quickly as possible. I know they were thinking like, what is that girl doing in the bathroom? But I mean, honestly, it wasn't even that long. I would probably eat that meal in like 3 minutes, like no exaggeration, eat that meal in like 3 minutes. And then for my water, I would chug like 1/2 gallon of water before my shift and then like 1/2 gallon of water after to make sure that I was staying hydrated and like drinking sips of water in between when I could, but I was like straight water loading, had to make sure I got that hydration in. Another thing I would do was I would take sweet potatoes home from the restaurant for my later meal that night. The cooks knew like Kinsley's getting some sweet potatoes. We got discounted meals for free at Sunny's, which was pretty nice, but I was never eating that pulled pork and that, you know, brisket, like I said, but I would eat the sweet potatoes. Sometimes I get them to make me like some green beans and not cook in any oil. Just I would manipulate the system for sure and take advantage of working in that restaurant as best as possible. So every day, although this wasn't ideal, my point is I was making it work. This job taught me a lot of things, but the most valuable thing I probably learned was how to adapt and just simply work with what I had versus waiting for the perfect conditions, which is a vital skill I use every single day as an entrepreneur. Thinking back to those Sunny's barbecue days, the system was most definitely not built for my goals. I mean, I had a strict boss. I had no food breaks. I had crazy long shifts, but I did not make excuses. I actually mentioned this in my last podcast episode, a little bit more on like making excuses, how that's not for me and how you got to quit. I encourage you guys to definitely check out that episode if you missed it. That was a fun one to film. That was just last week. It was all about overcoming fitness obstacles. And one of them being, you got to stop making excuses. It was titled How to Build the Life You Want When Life Won't Let You Breathe. I'd love for you guys to check that one out and hopefully find some inspiration and courage from that one as well. But all this goes to say, excuses just don't get you anywhere. I chose to honor my commitment to myself and the rules a little bit and still chase my bigger goal, which at the time was being the best bodybuilder that I could be. It comes down to not needing permission and working with the cards in which you were dealt. That is entrepreneurship at its rawest form. That's the courage behind the curls. You feel me? Again, with this job, I was learning valuable skills, even if I didn't know it at the time. And I continued to stick with this job, even though I did hate this one as well. But let's talk about what I was doing in my spare time when I wasn't working at Sunny's. My crazy hustler ass decides to get another job working at a place called Fusackley's. Fusakli's is another one that I don't think this is a chain restaurant. I feel like they only have it in certain places, but this is a very well-known fast food restaurant in Alabama for sure. We had multiple locations. I was working here around that same age, again, 18, 19 years old. Sonny's just wasn't really giving me enough hours. I was working long double shifts, but this was only a few days out of the week. And I knew that that $2.13 an hour plus tips was not going to cut it for me to get out of my hometown. So I had another friend that I actually ran with in high school at the time who told me that she could get me a job at Fusakli's. This girl was awesome, by the way, really good friend of mine. And so I appreciated that. You know, I'm like, okay, I do need another job. That would be nice. Like, let's see what we can do. So with this restaurant, things that were on the menu, it was chicken tenders, coleslaw, toast, like buffalo chicken sandwiches, that type of thing. We didn't really have servers because it was more fast food, right? So my role was to work mostly drive-through and sometimes a cashier up front. You could bus and serve tables a little bit, but it was nothing like serving in an actual restaurant with this being not like a super sit-down type of place. We did our orders a little bit differently, I remember. So once again, imagine me in this style of restaurant when one of my major goals in life is literally to promote health. Even from a young age, this was a major passion of mine. People here were actually really cool as far as the employees that I worked with. But let me tell you, this job sucked. Like, it really sucked. If you've ever worked fast food, you know what I mean. It was repetitive tasks. It was low pay. It was an uncomfortable environment, just super crowded, greasy air, just a hot kitchen, dealing with rude people. I was working the window drive-through most of the time, 4 to 6 hours of just standing in a window, taking orders and handing out dipping sauces. I will say though, I was looking super cute in my little blue jean shorts back there. You know, I had that curly hair and that high pony. I was straight repping Fusakli's. But I will say every moment from the time that I walked in the door till the time that I left, I literally could not wait to leave. But one of my main problems was this. Again, not one specific story with Fusakli's, but this literally happened to me almost every time that I worked there. In Alabama, people take their fast food seriously. Fusakli's was super busy and it was a fast-paced environment. So sometimes I would get the order wrong, okay? Or someone else would get the wrong order. I maybe wrote the order down wrong, or the cooks wouldn't make it correctly, or the other employees on the line would forget a ranch sauce or something. The guest would get so mad. These guys or girls would literally pull back in the drive-thru, angry, screaming at me on how their order was wrong. Like, can you go get a manager? I need a discount. How could you do this to me? Nah, but these customers would literally be acting like missing one buffalo sauce is like a personal betrayal. Like, sir, calm down. This would make me extremely pissed off. And dealing with rude and impatient people was something I just did not tolerate very well at the time. When this happened, I would try to keep it cool, but I can't even lie to y'all. I would get pretty sassy with the customers. I would be firing shots back. I was one shift away from losing it. And I still had to pick up a shift at Sonny's when I was done dealing with these people with major attitudes and no self-awareness. So even though I hated this job and knew it was most definitely not aligned with my passion for wellness, working at Fu did teach me how to deal with rude, irrational people. It taught me how to handle high-pressure situations when it came to back-to-back orders and customer complaints. It taught me how to stay composed while doing repetitive and thankless work. As an entrepreneur, emotional regulation and people management under pressure is another skill that you just have to have, and one that is applicable to my life on the daily. When you run your own business, especially as a creative or a founder, you have multiple roles, not just one, and you don't always get to choose who you work with, especially at first. There will be difficult customers or clientele. There will be high pressure situations, missed expectations, repetitive tasks that have to get done, and miscommunications. However, it is still your role to show up professionally and handle those situations in a calm and composed manner. Let me just say though, shout out to my clients because they're literally all amazing and I love working with them. I'm super blessed, but in business in general, you have to know how to work with different types of people. And sometimes you're just not everyone's vibe and they're not yours either. Okay. And that's just a part of life. You guys see a common theme here. I was putting in the work regardless of how I felt or how much I disliked these jobs. I was gaining knowledge, tools, and lessons that helped me in my business today. And I didn't quit this job like all of the others until I had something else that would lead to more financial stability for me. That's kind of when training came in. I was doing a little bit of personal training at the time when I was around that 18, 19 years old as well. But that's a whole nother story. It was something I was just kind of doing in the little bit of free time that I had, training my friends, obviously studying as much as possible, training myself for as many hours as I could in the day and just learning that type of thing. But again, that's for another podcast episode. I hope these stories gave you a little bit of motivation and just a reminder that even the most random and exhausting jobs can teach you something powerful. Every chapter built skills that I didn't even know I needed at the time. Emotional control, adaptability, multitasking under pressure, knowing what kind of systems and leaderships I never wanted in my own business, and most of all, just learning how to create my own path even when the job doesn't align with the dream. You have to hustle to get to your goals. You have to work the jobs that suck sometimes and know that the return will be worth it. I feel like as long as you are working towards your passions during the process, like you're going to be okay. If you just sit back on your feet and just accept that the job sucks and only do that one thing, that's not the way to go about it at all. But again, you may just have to juggle a couple different things at once to get to where you want to be or to figure out what you want to do. But usually if you have something that you know you're good at and you know you're passionate about it, it will be fruitful eventually as long as you keep going and go about it, I would say, in the right way, not always more focused on the money, but more so focused on, okay, I know this is going to make an impact. It's something that I'm passionate about. And I guess that type of vibe. So wherever you're at now, maybe you're stuck in a career that you absolutely hate. Maybe you're juggling multiple jobs or just feeling stuck. The way I see it is that you're not behind, you're just building. So keep showing up and stay focused on the bigger picture. I hope you guys enjoyed today's show and want to wrap things up with a question from a listener. Remember, if you guys do have questions that you'd like to send in, the easiest way to do that is by DM at YoItsKenslow. That's at YoItsKenslo on Instagram or at Curls and Courage Podcast on IG. I'd love to have your question featured on the show and typically keep them anonymous as well. So question is, what's the difference between eating in a caloric deficit versus under eating or starving myself? Great question. Big difference here, and a lot of people do not know the difference. A caloric deficit is strategic and sustainable. So you are basically burning more calories than you are consuming over a period of time. This is a very smart fat loss strategy. Really, the only way you're going to be able to lose body fat in a healthy way is by being in a caloric deficit, burning more calories again than you're eating. Now, when we talk about starvation, it is harmful and definitely not sustainable. So that's when you are not giving your body enough fuel. You are not giving your body enough calories to, of course, perform, but also just to sustain daily function. So I think to be able to tell the difference is really important. When you're in a caloric deficit, you may feel a little bit hungry. And, you know, if you're pushing lower calories, it's normal for your body to be a little bit hungry. Maybe energy dips a little bit at times. You feel like you need to rest a little bit more. I think that's totally normal. However, you're still able to go about your daily life. You're still able to perform well at the gym, have good workouts. You're still able to not compromise your social life or not compromise your energy towards the people that you love throughout the day or anything like that. You're still able to recover well. You're still able to get things done at work. Your mental focus is still where it should be, that type of thing. But you know that your body's in starvation mode if you are constantly hungry 24/7, if you are having bad cravings, if you are having worse brain function, if your body is not recovering well, you're not sleeping well, your body feels super sore all the time, maybe you feel extremely irritable, extremely fatigued, your mood is just off. All of those are great indications that you're not just in a caloric deficit, your body's actually starving. So big difference there. And then I will say also, when it comes to an actual number, There may be rare cases where maybe you're dieting down really hard for a show, or you have a really important event coming up that you're having to push calories down extremely low, or maybe you have a fight coming up and you have to lose a crazy amount of weight super fast. In that case, you may have to go lower calories than what I'm about to tell you guys, but I truly do believe that no female should really go below like 1200 calories per day. I think any lower than that, you are risking putting your body in just a very bad spot hormonally, mentally, physically, and even that's pretty low if you're training, if you're moving a lot throughout the day, just so you guys have a specific number, because I see a lot of girls out here doing 800 calorie diets and thinking that's going to be sustainable, and they're just trying to get a little bit leaner. That's never going to work, and it's going to really, really hurt you within the process. So desperate times call for desperate measures for sure, but I think being in a sustainable caloric deficit is always the best way to go. And if you guys do need help with nutrition, if you guys do need help with training, I'd love to connect with you guys more. Love to write you guys a specific program catered towards your goals and needs to make sure that you're not starving. The best way to reach me for that, to set up a consult and talk goals and get you right, would be to email me at kensleymeeksfit@gmail.com. That's kensleymeeksfit@gmail.com. I'd love to hear from you guys and help you in any way that I can. But that's all for today's question. Again, please send me a DM if you'd like to connect more. I encourage you guys to follow those two IG accounts that I mentioned earlier and the YouTube channel, which is at Kensley Meeks. We should have video content of the podcast coming out in the next couple of months. Let me know what you guys want to see next. I put these episodes out for you and always like to give as much value and encouragement, obviously, as I can. And then also catch the podcast every Thursday at 10 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time. That's on WDJY 99.1 FM radio. Again, every Thursday at 10 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time. I'll put that link in the show notes. Please rate and review the show on whatever podcast platform you're listening to now. Again, those rates and reviews help the show grow, help the show reach a broader audience, and just support me so, so much. I appreciate you guys listening. Thank you for your support. Keep showing up and stay bold. I'll talk to y'all next week. Appreciate y'all.